Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another special edition of the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. This is the 2024 U.S. Open Cup Round 2 review show, talking to those people for what's been going on in the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. But before we even get to those matches, a very, very disturbing bit of news has come across the wire. Of course, as we all know, certain things going on with Miami United, who has won their first round and second round matches, but it's not so much, of course, what they did on the field. It's what they've done off the field. And joining me covering this moment and this story, my colleague, of course, from World Soccer Talk and from Beyond the 90, Kartik Krishnayer. Kartik, this is very, very disturbing news to hear what some of the players of Miami United have done. It's still an ongoing story. Then the investigation is still going on. But what can you tell us about what happened and what transpired?
Okay, so I want to state that these are allegations. There's no we don't have definitive evidence of who actually placed the bet. So Wednesday night, Miami United, who beat Chattanooga FC in the first round, so that's a professional team. That's an MLS Next Pro team, and that's actually an old rival of theirs from NPSL. Played several NPSL playoff games, epic playoff games against Chattanooga back in the day. They then faced Club de Leon of Visa, pretty good team from here in Florida, in the second round. So Club de Leon is the favorite in that match. And Miami United defeats them 2-0. An upset, right? Another cup set for Miami United, who have a history of upsetting professional teams in this tournament. Remember 2018, they upset Miami FC, the club I worked for at the time. They upset the Jacksonville Armada. They took Orlando City really the distance for much of that game against an MLS team in round four. So they have a history of doing this, but still they were an underdog in this game against Club de Leon, and they're no longer in NPSL. They're in a local, small local league called the United States Soccer Association, which is just basically a league in Southern Florida. So there were good odds. I don't understand gambling as much as a lot of people, so I'm just going to report on this story as I understand it. I was, I believe, the only journalist at the game on Wednesday night that was played at Broward College in Pembroke Pines between Miami United and Club de Leon. And there were some things that were odd about the match. First off, it was the only match in the second round of the Open Cup, or actually in the first or second round of the Open Cup, where Offset didn't keep stats. Probably a coincidence, but still kind of suspicious. It was a game where Club de Leon, the losing team, the visiting team, did not leave the ground with a referee report, which is also kind of strange, like not really good form. I don't know that it's totally abnormal, but it's still kind of odd. So those are two things that happened. I was on the ground at the match. I found it odd that stats weren't being kept. That I will say right away. I thought that was very strange. And I know Josh Hoskola, our friend from the Cup.us, was putting together like the stat keepers for these various games. And I think maybe it just fell through this game. I mean, Daniel, you're in South Florida now as well. You know how difficult it is. 6 o'clock kickoff. Broward College in Pembroke Pines. Traffic is terrible. Maybe people didn't get there. But Miami United wins 2-0. Big upset. And what we understand, and they were celebrating after the match pretty boisterously. I wasn't able to talk to anyone from Miami United after the match. I did talk to Fabian Poran, who you and I both know, the owner of Club de Leon. So I spent some time with him after the match. And, you know, we were talking about the match, right? We weren't talking about this. The next day, what we learned is that the Florida Gaming Commission, so there had been an effort to place a bet above whatever the limit. The limit is $25,000, from what I understand, at the Hard Rock Casino in Hollywood. Now, by the way, the Seminole Hard Rock Casino in Hollywood is about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on the traffic, from where the match was played. So that's, like, this is one of the reasons why, and maybe I don't want to get my own personal beliefs involved in here, but, like, I've never been terribly comfortable with professional sports teams being in Vegas for this reason. The Florida Gaming Commission gets a trigger from the Seminole Tribe of Florida that operates the Seminole Hard Rock Casino, it owns actually the Hard Rock chain. Basically, someone had tried to come in and place a very large six-figure bet on Miami United. The casino said no. You know, we can't take a bet that large on this match. There is a limit, which is $25,000. So then several people alleged to be Miami United players by the person who initially tweeted this thing. From my reporting, I can't confirm that, which is why I want to stress this is an allegation. There was gambling on this match. There was irregular gambling on this match. That we definitively know. We know that then after these bets were placed legally in the sports book, but then we saw it with the result, the Seminole Tribe is disputing whether to pay out the bets because it was suspicious, right? Someone came in with a large amount of money. They wouldn't take that bet. I believe 5 to 6 people then come a couple hours later, or maybe not even a couple hours later, but you know, later the same day, putting money down on this game. So then, because it's suspicious, they kicked it upstairs to the Florida Gaming Commission, which now has to is in the middle of investigating this. We do not know that it's Miami United players. Now it could be, it may not be. I also mentioned the proximity of the casino to where the match was played, because I think that that's part of maybe what fed this speculation. But what we do know, Daniel, is that there was irregular betting patterns on this one match. And the one match was played 10 minutes away from where the casino, where the irregular betting patterns took place. So it's very, very suspicious. Now, it's possible, just hypothetically, that it was some Miami United fan or someone locally who thought, yeah, they're going to win, and Club de Leon, they're a Niza team, and you know how some people think Niza is like an amateur league, which, you know, whatever you think of how the way Niza operates as a business, their teams are not amateur teams. Their teams, they have good players. They're the professional league. It's a professional level league in terms of quality of play. And you can argue what you want about their off-the-field business stuff. I think that could be improved. I think we all agree on that. So, you know, it could be just some Miami United fan that came in and placed a bet and wasn't able to and then got 6 of his friends to do it. That's possible. But it's also possible it is what is suspected. So the investigation is ongoing from the Florida Gaming Commission. The other thing I can report is U.S. Soccer is aware of this. I haven't put this on Twitter because I haven't, you know, what happened is I put stuff on Twitter on Friday and then people were drawing conclusions and running wild with things. And I know we all like to break stories as reporters, but at the same time, there's a responsibility here. I want to make sure we get this absolutely right. So I have not put anything more on social media since Friday evening. But what has happened since then is I know definitively U.S. Soccer is aware of the allegations. U.S. Soccer is looking into it themselves, and that U.S. Soccer is in touch with NISA, which is, of course, a sanctioned professional league, which Club de Leon, the losing team in this match, is in. I don't know if they're in touch with the league that Miami United is in. I think they're probably sanctioned under the USASA, so that might be a little more complicated for the federation. But certainly they are in touch with NISA, and they are investigating on their own. So that's where it is. I have not put that on social media for a reason, so if people are listening get angry, hey, you haven't updated us every 10 minutes. I think this is a really delicate story. I think we need to be very careful with it.
Absolutely, because, you know, we don't want to make a mistake here and accuse people for the wrong things, but at the same time, we want to make sure that the correct information comes out so that once it does come out, then we'll, you know, we'll make the story what it should be about, because if there was a real gambling allegations with these players on Miami United to try and win the game and win a bunch of money, not saying we believe that's what really happened, but the truth is we still have to be careful of what we say. You know, if these do become true, then definitely we'll report it. But I agree with you. You know, we got to be careful on what's been going on here, and hopefully it's not what we think it is, that we hope it's just a zealous bunch of fans of Miami United that wanted to place a very, very large bet on the match. And if that's what it is, then I without a doubt, Miami United should continue on in the tournament. But if there is a hint of underhandedness going on and with the gambling situation, then look, it's got to be dealt with, and U.S. Soccer is going to have to adjudicate whether, you know, Miami United did not do it and they remain, or if they did do it, if they should be removed and let Club De Leon return into the tournament.
Yeah, so that I think is the decision that's going to have to be made probably tomorrow, quite honestly, as we have this show Monday night. I think that U.S. Soccer, the remedy is Club De Leon would take Miami United's place in the draw, and they would face Memphis 901 at Memphis. By the way, Memphis playing terribly recently. So I think Miami United, let's say they stay in, I think they have a shot in that match. Memphis is not been impressing me in USL play. But understand something else. We have had precedent of we haven't had this gambling thing. This is really serious. But we do have precedent of teams winning matches or advancing and then being thrown out of the tournament. I covered a situation. I was kind of in the middle of it unwittingly. Well, this one I am too, right, because I was the one reporter at this game. But unwittingly, the Villages, when they defeated Charleston Battery on penalty kick 2016, I then was told by, as a reporter, by an official at Boca Raton FC, hey, by the way, the Villages fielded a guy that's cup-tied because he had played for us in the previous round. And I said as a journalist, hey, I don't want to be in the middle of this. I'm not reporting this, okay? Now, you have the ability to go to Charleston, to call the Battery and tell the Battery, hey, the team that lost to you fielded an ineligible player. Well, this guy did that, the Boca Raton owner. He called the Battery. I think in that day, in those days, Andrew Bell, if you remember him, he was still the president of Charleston. And Andrew then called U.S. Soccer, and they went to the Open Cup Committee. The Open Cup Committee threw the Villages out. Charleston took their place in the draw. So there is history that I've actually been involved in myself. I tried to stay out of it, but got drawn into it, where a team has been tossed from the tournament, and the team that they defeated replaced them in the draw, which is what presumably would happen here if U.S. Soccer finds cause. But again, I want to stress, the things we know for a fact is these bets were placed, and we do know that a large bet, there was an attempt to place an even larger bet that was rejected. And this triggered, all of this triggered the warnings to the Florida Gaming Commission. We do not know that it was Miami United players. That is speculation. And when I've talked to Miami United directly, they have not put out a statement, which does kind of concern me, Daniel, because I thought they would have put out a statement by now, a public statement. But when I last communicated with them on Saturday, and again, I didn't want to keep this stuff off social media, so I stopped putting stuff on Twitter on Friday related to the story. On Saturday, they told me they're pretty sure, they're investigating internally, they're pretty sure it wasn't their players, but they haven't put that out publicly. U.S. Soccer, as I said, is investigating. They're in communication with NISA. And in terms of Club De Leon, I know that they're very concerned about it, and their NISA season kicks off on Friday against Georgia FC, but that they, you know, if they get restored to the Open Cup, they will be going to Memphis the following week.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the information, Kardik, and hopefully look, we get an answer, and that everything will be A-OK, and, you know, Miami United can advance, but if there is some underhandedness going on, then Club De Leon will probably go ahead. But thank you very much for joining me tonight, Kardik, as always, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Daniel. Have a great rest of the show. I'm looking forward to listening to everybody who's been successful in the Open Cup in the next hour.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Kardik. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, that's Kardik Krishnayer from World Soccer Talk as well. Whoops. Whoops, just lost my next guest here. Didn't mean to do that. We will get him back on as soon as possible. There we go. My next guest, and I apologize to my next guest. I hit the wrong button. Wasn't supposed to do that. But let me welcome him, my very first time on my show. He is, of course, you remember him if you are a Nashville SC fan, their analyst on local television. Of course, he was with MLS Season Pass. He's been also doing Open Cup matches through U.S. Soccer, MLSsoccer.com, USLsoccer.com. Jamie Watson joining me tonight to talk about the great job by Sasha Kleischen coming out of retirement to play for Des Moines Menace in the Open Cup. Jamie, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I almost took the hint when you hung up on me a second ago, but I called back.
No
hint
whatsoever.
All good. I got to follow up. Kartik, which is tough because he's been around this game for a long, long time and does a great job with World Soccer Talk. So big shoes to follow up in, but we'll do our best here, okay?
I know you will. But first of all, let me ask you this. How nervous were you for that third round draw? All those envelopes that you had to take out of Joe Malfa's hands, I swear to God, I thought I was going to see some sweat dripping down your brow.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is a funny story. I realized we were doing the rehearsal and we got through everything and my part's the easiest part, right? Opening the envelopes or so you would think. And so it was the last part of the rehearsal. So right before I realized, oh, they're going to be zooming in on my hands. And look, my lotion game is not where it needs to be. So I was looking at my hands when we zoomed in and I was like, I probably should have put lotion on my hands at some point today. Let me go do that right now. And everyone in the room looked at me like, are you crazy? You're going to do that right now about 90 seconds before we go on. And I was like, yeah, it'll be no problem. Let me tell you, bad idea. It looked great, but that made it a little bit more slippery to try to get those. And I'm going to have a word with U.S. Open Cup Commissioner David Applegate about the envelopes because I think it was a little bit of a snug fit, but look, this is about 90 seconds too long of envelope talk, but yeah, very nervous. Very easy to do it in your kitchen when you're opening up your mail, when you know you got lots of people watching and waiting on if their team is going to be home or away. It's a little bit harder to open those envelopes than it looks at home, let me tell you.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Sasha Kleischen. You know, I was completely shocked when he announced that he was going to join the Des Moines Menace in their Open Cup matches, obviously retired from the game for like a little over a year and being a part of the studio hosts with MLS 360 show. And wow, I have to tell you, only two matches, unfortunately, but I have to say he still got it.
Oh, man, form is temporary, class is permanent, and Sasha Kleischen is the definition of class. So he's somebody that I know going back to our times with the under-23 national team. We were, I don't know if we were roommates together, but we certainly spent pretty much the whole time together when we were in Japan over there for a couple of friendlies. And I've been a big fan of that guy. He was somebody that was a leader then. He's been a leader all throughout his career. And then he's made this transition, as you mentioned to a moment ago, to MLS 360. He's made it look a lot easier than it actually is. And that goes down to his preparation, which is no surprise, really. But he is hardworking as he is talented. So I felt for the guy because it's one thing to say, yeah, I'll get out there and go play. And he sort of took his stance of how he felt with the Open Cup, and he backed it up. And it's all easy to do that when you're tweeting back and forth. But when it comes time to actually do it, my goodness, and that game ends up going 120 minutes, a couple of substitutions happen that probably meant he wasn't going to come out, and I also think he's competitive enough that he didn't want to come out. Then he goes the full distance, has a ridiculous world-class assist, and then buries his penalty kick, which ends up being the winner in penalties. So it was about a storybook dream debut in the Open Cup for the Des Moines Menace for Sasha Kljestan, and then unfortunately they ran into a pretty well-oiled machine with Union Omaha. It just goes to show the high level that even League One is at, and you can bring in some ringers to the Open Cup, but that's not going to guarantee you passage on to the next round. So it was a wonderful story, though, man. I absolutely loved every second of it, and I felt really, really lucky to get to tell the story of my good friend Sasha.
I have to tell you, I was watching the stream. Of course, you and Joe Malfa called that match in the first round, and I was just laughing my head off. I was enjoying this, and of course, you know, you're probably looking on your phone through X. So was I. I'm going through X myself, and there's Bradley Wright Phillips, his Red Bull teammate, his teammate on MLS 360. We're all just having a laugh. I'm having a laugh. I swear to God, it was the best thing ever just to see how you and Joe were just lighting it up on the broadcast. It was fantastic. I had to add my 2 cents in as well. It was great.
you were making it just as enjoyable. You were just as much in the mix. Don't sell yourself short on that one. And I really enjoyed it. I had Stu Holden going on the text, too, because I know you and Holden from my days, you know, in the past in Austin. And so I was texting Stu, and he was hilarious about it, because as we got closer to the penalties and we got to the sort of break in between of the two extra times, I text Stu. I'm like, so do you want him to actually make it, or are you like a typical brother who wants to be able to have something to, you know, give a hard time to your brother over? And so he's like, I absolutely want him to miss it. And then he started laughing, and he's a little wink face. So, you know, and then afterwards I was like, so are you glad he made it? He was like, yeah, absolutely I am. So, you know, it was one of those that it was a proverbial who's who, you know, watching that. And, you know, you had Taylor Twellman from, you know, MLS season pass as well. He was tweeting about it. Bradley Wright Phillips. I mean, the pressure from Sasha that he must have had, knowing internally that there were a lot of people watching, because this was one of the biggest stories of round two and three, but also he was going to have to go into the studio on Saturday night for that show, and knowing that if there were any moments where he got megged or he got his ankles broke or he, you know, totally made a bad pass or something like that, Bradley Wright Phillips was going to be the first person to give him a hard time. And I will give Sasha all the credit in the world for 120 minutes and penalties of the game in round two. He didn't put a foot wrong. I mean, straight off retirement onto the pitch, and he was excellent that night. Wonderful ball to his teammate Cyrus Harmon, who took it really well, and a great goal. And so it was a great moment, and it brought a lot of people together. So that's the magic of the Open Cup. That's what it can bring you, and that's why I think most of us all love the Open Cup wholeheartedly.
Oh, absolutely. I love the Open Cup ever since back in 1997, the second year of Major League Soccer, before it began. This is a true story. I have to tell you this. There was a merchandise catalog at Barnes & Noble's of MLS, an MLS merchandise catalog of Barnes & Noble's. And I opened it up, and all of a sudden, the front cover, there's DC United, you know, taking a group photo with a trophy, and it was not the first MLS Cup. It was something else. And I was like, I'm racking my brain. What the hell is this? I had no idea at the time about the Open Cup until a friend of mine, I mean, I bought it, and I asked a friend of mine, because he's more into soccer than I was back then, and he told me, yeah, that's the Doer Cup. That's the Open Cup. And I'm like, oh, okay, so what does that mean? And when they told me, I'm like, that's awesome. And that's how I got hooked into the Open Cup, through an MLS merchandise catalog that had DC United posing with the Doer Cup as the original Open Cup tournament trophy. I just was shocked, and I loved it ever since.
That's amazing. I love that story. And see, everybody has their stories about when they fell in love with the game. And in particular, we're talking about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. But that's the beauty of this, right? It could be somebody that's like, I turned on FIFA and started playing, and I just like this team. For me, I like Liverpool because we went over with Generation Adidas at the end of my first year in 2005, and we had two games on the docket that we were going to go to. One game at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, but the day before we were going to Anfield to watch Liverpool play. And I grew up not really having a team that I was super tight to and have my allegiance with. But I go to Liverpool. I hear You'll Never Walk Alone. It's amazing. If I would have gone to Stamford Bridge the day before, it might have been a different story. But I love that story for you. I love that you have that connection to it, and it's a wonderful tournament. I've gotten to play, you know, as Joe, my buddy who's been on a lot of these calls with some other great broadcasters as well, but Joe always alludes to it, that I've gotten a chance to see it sort of at every level. And so that's why I love it, because I look at any team that's in this tournament, and I think I can relate to them, whether you're at the top of the pyramid or the bottom of the pyramid. I've sort of been in that position, and I can understand. It's a unique perspective, without a doubt, but I love it because anything can happen on any night in the Open Cup, and that's just something special. You get a story like El Farolito, who's going through, and in the fourth round they'll be playing against Oakland Roots, and they play every preseason, and where they're one of their burrito stores that it's named after. A lot of the Oakland Roots players and staff frequent it after training because it's right there. I mean, it's wild. It's crazy. I feel like someday, I don't know, somebody like Pablo Maurer or Tom Bogard from The Athletic, those two guys are going to write a book about the Open Cup and all the crazy stories like, you know, yours at Barnes & Noble's and then El Farolito burrito chain, you know, all the craziness in between.
Absolutely. It's going to be wild and crazy, and I can't wait for that story to come out, or if the book does get written about it, it's going to be amazing. I have to ask you, though, you know, you as a former player, and of course now you're analyzing all these matches, whether it be through MLS or through the Open Cup, what Sasha has done, has it given you an idea maybe to latch on to a USL League 2 side or an NPSL side or a U.S. Adult Soccer Association side that has qualified for the Open Cup? Are you going to try and do something like this, or that's it? That crazy time is over.
Oh, man. No, it was funny. I was joking around with Sasha about it, and I said, hey, if this thing keeps going, you know, look, I'll start going out for a quick jog here. But I think, look, I would love to do it. I still stay active. I still work out. I love the game and everything. But I think what you're seeing is you look at Union Omaha and just how good and deep the soccer is in this country, that you've got, you know, your pyramids and Division 1, 2, 3 status and all that and whatnot. But you can take a team that's got Sasha Kleshin, Roger Espinosa, Ryan Rowe, AJ De La Garza, Ewan Holden, a few others I might be missing in there, and you get them together, and they still can't beat against a League One team in Union Omaha. You know what I mean? And pretty Union Omaha were pretty convincing in their performance, and you know the scoreline could have been a lot worse by the end of it. It just goes to show that it's really, really difficult now to win these games because the quality is so deep. It would take something special. I don't think that you could get together a group of retirees who are not fully committed, who are not training every day, who are not fit and in actual real game shape. I don't think that there's a group of players that you could put together. I think something like the TST is perfect for a bunch of retired players because it's a smaller pitch, lower numbers, and you get some good quality in that. But the Open Cup, the quality is just too good. Could I do it? Sure, it would be a very, very brief run, I believe, in the tournament, because I just think you just get to a level where there's just too many good teams. I mean, so long way of saying, would I do it? Sure, I think it'd be a lot of fun. Would I have a lot of high expectations with it? No, I'm a little bit too self-aware to think that we would go very far in the tournament, but a game or two would definitely be fun to play in the Open Cup again.
No, absolutely. I think that would be great if it did happen. If not, I understand the TST tournament is probably more certain retired players' speed, if you know what I mean. And I'm talking about you, Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy, I swear to God.
Jimmy's the best.
I mean, yeah. Yep, he really is. I swear to God, Jimmy Conrad, not that I'm calling him out or anything like that, but, you know, you wanted to do it. You complained after it. Just get in there, man. Let's go. Come on.
we're all competitive. We're all competitive. We all want to win, right? All the time in everything
yep.
we do. I ask my kids when I play Old Maid with them. They find out quickly how competitive that is.
Exactly. Absolutely. I was even shocked Sasha got AJ De La Garza to join him on Des Moines for that second round match. That was crazy.
Well, I tell you what, I think there would have been some more players that would have been lining up to join him if they would have kept the run going. That was it was certainly a talk, and all these guys, you know, we all keep in touch, and you start going, hey, hang on a second, this looks kind of fun. And you get some other guys to go. Like, can you imagine that? Imagine if they would have won. I would have loved to see what would have continued on in that tournament. And then I'm sure, like I did get from some other coaches and GMs and, you know, higher executives, I'm sure I would have gotten a hard time if I would have made them have to go on the road for the game with the Open Cup draw. But nonetheless, I'm saved from some former teammates giving me a hard time. I just had to handle a few coaches and executives along the way texting me going, gee, thanks a lot, or hey, you really helped out the budget. Thanks for giving us the home game for the next round.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you, since you did the draw for the third round, who do you got? Who do you think is going to advance into the fourth round here? Who give us? I know it's probably not in front of you at the moment, but you know, in your mind, who do you like advancing to the next round here?
You underestimate me here on what I've got in front of me. Like any good analyst, you got to have all your cheat sheets in front of you, right? So we can run through on Tuesday, April 16th. The matchup I'm looking forward to the most on that, I've got two of them there. We'll run through quickly, but Detroit City FC versus Michigan Stars, that's going to be an epic clash between those two.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a background to it, a history to that. Detroit City is looking really good. I think the run for the NISA Starlets and the Stars ends there. Rhode Island, I think, will beat Charlotte Independence. I got a chance to do Rhode Island's game. Connor Smith's building something up there. The other game I'm looking forward to, Louisville versus Greenville Triumph. Greenville's had some success in League One. I think Louisville City does them. The Matadors, Lubbock Matadors, continue on their run against New Mexico United. Eric Quill's got that group playing some good soccer. I think New Mexico United advanced. And then Oakland Roots plays El Farolito in the nightcap of day one of round three. I think Oakland Roots will push that on. Would I love the story to continue? Absolutely. It's a great one. But I just think that Oakland will be able to turn them over. And then we go through the next day. You know, there's a whole slate of games there. I won't run through every single one of them, but I know that I'll be on a couple of games that night, and so I'm looking forward to it. I got Richmond Kickers versus Loudoun, and then I'll do the nightcap Monterey Bay versus Irvine Zeta. So I think there's some really good matchups in there, and I think that I think like anything, I mean, we can sit here and talk about it, and that's the best part of this is as analysts, we can give our opinions why we think something's going to happen. This should not happen. No way. And then it does happen, right? Because anything can happen on any night in the Open Cup. And so I think that, you know, along the way, there'll be an upset or a cup set along the way, I hope, that follow those stories along the way. And then we'll do the draw the next day on Thursday 18th for round four. And, you know, we get 16 USL championship sides in this tournament now. So the quality is only going to get better and better from here. Competition's only going to get tougher and tougher. And the games are only going to be better and better to watch. So please tune in, have a great time, and look where it led to us, right? That's the beauty of social media. We were just tweeting
Absolutely.
Back and forth, and here we are now a couple weeks later. Open Cup has brought us together. This is part of our story here, and who knows? It's hopefully some other fun stories will develop from this tournament in the 109th edition of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Absolutely. That's all we want. Jamie, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Have fun with those matches in the third round next week. I can't wait to hear you. And once again, if you ever want to come back, you're more than welcome to. The invitation's automatically opened.
Nah, Daniel, I really appreciate it. Great job with the show. I'm excited to hang up and listen to all the great guests you got on the show. So it's an action-packed show tonight. So thank you for fitting some time in there for me.
No problem at all. Thank you for joining me, and you have a good night.
You too.
All right. Jamie Watson, ladies and gentlemen, and soccer analyst for multiple platforms, MLS, Season Pass, U.S. Open Cup streams. It was absolutely fantastic to have Jamie on and to talk about Sasha Kljestan. I hope he does it again. We'll never know. Maybe it'll be Bradley Wright Phillips. Maybe it'll be somebody else. We'll see what happens. Who knows who will have the itch to scratch to get involved with the U.S. Open Cup. My next guest could not join me live tonight. We recorded this interview. This is the head coach of the Richmond Kickers, and Darren Zawatski, as we talk about his play for his club taking on the Maryland Bobcats of NISA. Here is that interview right now.
And this is the American Soccer Show. Welcome back to the U.S. Open Cup Round 2 review. I'm with the head coach of the Richmond Kickers, Darren Zawatski. Darren, congratulations on a big victory and moving on to the third round.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
And Just talk about that matchup. How difficult was Maryland Bobcats from NISA? I know they were tough last year in the Open Cup. How difficult was it to face them?
Yeah, they're a good team. You know, they're a Division III pro team. They got some very good players. You know, Darwin Espinal is a very, very good player. Can easily play in the USL League One, USL Championship. So, you know, they've had some success lately. And you know, we've been integrating kind of a youth movement here in Richmond. So, you know, we needed some wins, and that one really helped us carry into this weekend.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was a big rip-roaring matchup against them. And, boy, did you guys get off to a great start. Your captain, Nil Vinyas, with a big penalty conversion in the 6th minute. That was amazing.
Yeah, you know, Nil's a very, very special player. You know, it's interesting because 2 weeks prior in Spokane, he had a look at goal in, like, the first 30 seconds of the game. So, you know, he's known for having a hot start. You know, we were fortunate enough to get a penalty early, but we were putting them under all kinds of pressure. You know, Chandler hit the shot that bounced off the guy's arm, and we luckily got a penalty kick, and that was pretty much 100% with those things.
No, it really was, and of course you're on the board first going forward, and then of course Chandler O'Dwyer comes in big 14 minutes later, make it 2-0 for you guys, and Richmond, boy, you know, just something magical happens at your home ground, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're very lucky. You know, we averaged 5,000 fans last year per game. We've had big crowds so far. You know, they support the Open Cup. They come out even midweek. So we're very fortunate. We want to reward them. It creates a great atmosphere.
Absolutely. A little worrisome at the moment, of course. Abdul Kuistra from Maryland was able to pull one back in the 25th minute, and that made it 2-1. But still, though, you guys were really confident and just never lost your cool moving forward out there, did you?
No, and, you know, that came off of a scramble off a set piece. You know, and if our body position was a little bit better, I think we would have cleared the ball out. You know, the ball dropped and kind of bounced around in the box, and he was able to get on the end of it. And credit to him, but, you know, something that's very solvable for us.
Mm-hmm. It really was. Talk about your big guy in Dakota, Barnathan. Got both goals in this one, obviously, and, of course, his first half stoppage time goal was the match winner. How big was he in this one to keep you guys, not just to make sure that you're ahead of Maryland, but that they really didn't threaten all throughout the game?
Yeah, well, first of all, he's from Long Island, near where you guys are, but he's a kid from up in the Northeast, and he's a tough kid. He's a good leader, you know, and when he's in rhythm, he helps the guys around him be better. We started the year with a 17-year-old left center back in Griffin Garnett, and having Dakota as a veteran player with a bit of bite to him has really helped Griffin come along.
Absolutely. You know, it was really important, though, because even though it looked like you guys had the match in hand, the red card that came in the 61st minute to Maryland's Joseline Posian, that had to be a big relief. Like, not so much a relief, but, you know, gaining an advantage with a man up is just really important in these cup competitions for you guys.
Yeah, it's always good if you can get to be a man up, but the game was kind of headed that way. You know, it was getting a little chippy. They were kind of kicking us all over the park. We had more possession in the game, so they were kind of chasing us a little bit. And, you know, you could kind of feel it coming. Once that happened, it kind of opened space for us. You know, they're a good team. They fought hard, but, you know, we were able to take advantage and finish off a couple that ended the game.
Absolutely. You know, I have to ask you, so I know obviously Darwin Espinal pulled a second one back to make it 4-2, but once again you win it 5-2 on the brace from Dakota Barnathan. But if I can ask you this, you know, the Richmond Kickers, before Major League Soccer came in 1996, the Richmond Kickers was the last, at the time, first division team, if you like to call it, to win the Open Cup before, of course, Rochester did the impossible in 1999, but When you think about that time in 1995, I mean, you weren't there, but do you feel a certain pride in the Open Cup to try and see if the Kickers can get back to that plateau?
Yeah, 100%. And I'll tell you, I personally have a long history with the Open Cup. You know, I won 3 of them with Sounders FC when I was on staff there. I was actually on the Colorado Rapids team and played the entire game against Rochester in 99. So I was on the field when they won that game. Not very fun for me, but, you know, our club has a rich history. I think it's really unfortunate that Major League Soccer decided that the teams, you know, weren't going to participate based on, you know, trying to go after money in other competitions. And it's because it's the longest running competition. And we are very prideful in the fact that we've won one. You know, we want to win any trophy we have a chance to go for, and the Open Cup is just a special, special tournament.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, you know, Leigh Kalishaw, who is a part of these historical moments with the Richmond Kickers, especially being a part of the team that won that Open Cup, is he still walking around the area? You still talk to him? Does he come every now and then to inspect what goes on with the Kickers?
Yeah, he really has absolutely nothing to do with the pro team. He runs the recreational side of Kickers Youth, so he's kind of put his time in the kids that are in youth soccer, like a normal youth soccer area. So he's around, but he really doesn't have anything to do with us.
No, that's great. You know, he's done enough for Richmond, that's for sure. I know he was a legend of the club, whether it be as a player, as a coach, or in management. But it's glad to hear they're still kind of walking around and hanging out with the club, and that's really good to hear. I mean, nothing to do with the pro team, unfortunately, but that's okay. You're probably doing a great job with it right now. So your third-round opponent will be Loudoun United, based over in Loudoun, Virginia, and Virginia or Maryland, I keep forgetting where they are, but still, though, that's going to be a very tough opponent in USL Championship. What are you expecting against Loudoun?
Yeah, so we play them in the preseason every year. I know Ryan Martin really well. We're friends. You know, he's a good coach, done a good job there. You know, they're really transitioning out of what Loudoun started as. They were the DC United feeder team. You know, they were the two team, and you know, he was playing a lot of younger players over the last few years, and then last year they took on new ownership, and he was able to have a much bigger budget. And if you look at his team now, it reflects what a USL Championship club looks like. He's got very good veteran players. You know, Florian Velo is a very good player. The kid up front, you know, Zach Ryan is very, very good. I mean, he's got some good weapons. It's going to be quite a challenge for us.
No, it really will be. And, of course, you know, please talk about how well this club has been growing in the Richmond, Virginia area, what they've done so far. Obviously, you're having success with youth teams, local players coming in to be a part of the Richmond Kickers. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to the club? They have so much rich player development through the club and through the area.
Yeah, you know, we won the regular season. We won the Player Shield in 2022. But at that time, you know, we look at everything, and all of the teams, you know, they're not making money, right? It costs a lot to run these teams. And what we decided was we were going to work to mirror what lower division teams around the world do, in that we develop our own players, we sign them to the first teams, and then we work to sell them on to higher levels for a couple of reasons. One, we want to help the local player, but we also want to make this sustainable. You know, there's just way too many pro teams in America that have folded because they haven't found a way to keep the actual business part sustainable. So our thought is to have quality veteran pros here like we do to win trophies, but also layer in that 16, 17, 18-year-old young player that's local and get them to the level where they can help us win trophies, and then we work to sell them on and, you know, make our club sustainable for 100 years.
Absolutely, and that's absolutely wonderful to hear, and it's great to hear this and to see Richmond be and the Kickers being successful for soccer in the area. That's really fantastic to hear. All I can say is Darren, is good luck in round three against Loudoun. Hopefully it'll be a huge victory for you, and you'll move on to the next round to take on a big MLS club, or hopefully will be another MLS club. We'll see what happens, of course, but good luck in the third round, and congratulations on the big victory.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the time.
And once again, that is the head coach of the Richmond Kickers, Darren Sawatsky. Once again, the Richmond Kickers, they are going to take on Loudoun United in the third round of the U.S. Open Cup. And it should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. You know, the Richmond Kickers, 1995 Open Cup champions, as they were able to go out and absolutely do a job. It was wonderful to see, and we'll see if they can continue doing that job in that third round of the U.S. Open Cup, and hopefully maybe they'll take on a very good opponent in the fourth round, but we'll wait and see when that happens next week. My next guest, ladies and gentlemen, he is the head coach of Greenville Triumph. This is Mr. Rick Wright, as Greenville Triumph were able to go out and get a huge win in the second round against One Knoxville. Rick, good evening, and how are you, sir?
Evening. Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Well, Rick, you know, you got to say this. You took on your fellow USL League One opponents in One Knoxville. And, you know, I'm assuming these are the type of games you love to play against some of these teams, not just in your league, but, you know, proximity is probably not that far away from Greenville and North Carolina and Knoxville, Tennessee, I should say. Just absolutely wonderful to see these types of matches playing for you guys.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, the first round we played in was actually, you know, an interstate rivalry. First time we ever played them, but it was a situation where it was just an hour and a half, 2 hour bus ride down to play them. And that was pretty exciting as well. But yeah, going to Knoxville is always a difficult task. They play at the University of Tennessee Women's Stadium, and it's a really, really nice location. The field is a really, really good surface, hard to adjust to because it's probably one of the fastest grass surfaces I've ever been on. But yeah, it was a good win for us and exciting for sure.
Well, you know, I got to say in this matchup, I mean, there was a lot of tension in this one. I've never seen – well, I have seen in Open Cup matches, you know, tons of cards being dealt and thrown around. Thankfully, no one got sent off, but, you know – boy, this was a really tense matchup.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, with the some of the new points of emphasis that the refs have really stressed to their refs, you know, it's definitely producing more cards, you know. I don't know whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing because I think at the end of the day, the game, I think, is suffering a little bit from it. But you know, it is what it is, and the players have to adapt. And, you know, we make it a point of just, you know, talking to our players every week. We go over the points of emphasis and hopefully it'll get them out of the habits of, you know, of getting into a situation where they are a little bit susceptible to getting a card. But like you say, nobody was ejected, and I think that's a good point there.
Absolutely, and we'll see, of course, you know, what's going to happen with this match and what you'll do in the next round. But into this matchup, you know, Liam McKinnon, both goals scored for your guys in regulation time, got the opener in the 15th, of course, made it 2-1 in the 33rd. You know, what's about him that makes him such a fantastic player for your guys over in Greenville?
I think, you know, one of the biggest things for me is, number one, he is a great human being. He really is a superb guy. He's all in for what it is to be a professional soccer player, not just showing up to practice, not just for showing up to games, but, you know, our club is very much a community club. So he's in the community. We have him doing various appearances in the community that the community is really taken to him, and he's taken to the community. But from the soccer, the footballing standpoint, you know, he's from Switzerland, went to Villanova, and good pedigree, and he just is so hungry to want to get better. You know, he trains hard, and he's constantly watching video, and I give him a lot of little tips here and there, and he really takes it to heart, you know. And at the end of the day, technically, he's a very, very good technical player. He's very, very good both-footed. He can shoot with both feet, you know, and play with both feet. So, yeah, he's a great guy. He really is, and he's a good athlete. And but he's a, you know, like I said, he's a student of the game. He's always striving to get better every single day, and that's important.
It really, really was. But unfortunately, in this matchup, one of Knoxville's top players, in Kepes Tekela, he gets also a brace in this one, scored a penalty after McKinnon to level at 1 and then leveled it at 2 in the 62nd minute. How difficult was that to see, you know, your side, of course, trying to get the lead and then it's all evened up, not just once but twice?
Yeah, you know, that's the way football is, though, you know, and that's one of the things that I will say about my team, as our team, is that we never feel that we're really out of a game, you know. You know, the game before that we played Lexington, we're down 2-0, come back and win 3-2. And it's a good trait that we have. At the end of the day, though, we had a discussion, you know, the other day after our game with NoCo, and that was, listen, we don't want to make it a habit of coming from behind. You know, we want to get the lead, and we want to try to, you know, get on top of our opponents and not let them back in the game. And that's what happened against NoCo. So, but yeah, the Knoxville game was really, really exciting, nail-biting for sure. And at the end of the day, we know we did come out on top, so we were pleased with that.
How did you feel your goalkeeper was in this one, Gunther Rankenberg? It sounds like he probably had a hell of a match keeping that ball out of the net, even though he only got those two past him. But it sounded like he was really on his game the entire match.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, we're very fortunate. We actually have two really top-class goalkeepers. Christian Garner's one of them, and then obviously Gunther Rankenberg and Rankenberg. And you know, I know that whenever I decide who's going to be in the goal, the other one is disappointed, but they really get behind each other and they really support each other. Training is always so competitive, you know, it's just really, really competitive. And I'm very fortunate. Gunther, you know, has a set of skills that you know, with his height and his, I guess, reading of the game is really top level, you know. And whereas Christian is obviously not quite as tall, but he's still very good in the air. He reads the game well. It's always a difficult decision to decide who's going to be getting the nod for each game. And I've got a goalkeeper coach, Choco, who's really, really – he's an Argentine. He's actually from Colombia but played in Argentina. And his training methods are a little different. The boys have really adapted well to it. So I'm relying on him to basically say, okay, this is the game for Gunther. This is the game for Christian. And so far, knock wood, it's worked out.
It really has. And, of course, finally, again, to extra time. And in the 107th minute, Chapa Herrera, he gets you that big match-winning goal, puts you into the 3-2 victory in extra time. That had to be probably the best feeling you and your club's ever had so far in this Open Cup at this point in time.
Without a doubt. And, you know, it's interesting. Chapa is a very interesting guy. We are very fortunate to have him, obviously, because, you know, he was at El Paso before. And once they released him, you know, we were like, we need to really take a look at this. And you know, he moved here. He came here. He's married and got a young son. And the first day of school, you know, the little boy goes to school. And the next day I was saying that, you know, just talking to him, I said, how did, you know, Leo do in school today? And he goes, Rick, he says, he's never been so happy. He's always been very leery about school. He's been, you know, he comes home crying sometimes, and he, you know, here we are in Greenville, and he's coming home every day laughing and cutting up, and he's really, really taken to the schooling really well. So, but you know, in that game, Chapa had another chance to score right after that. That was probably an easier chance that he missed. He went near post instead of to the far post. But yeah, it was a great feeling, great goal. And, you know, Chapa doesn't shoot very often. So we were very fortunate that he did make the right decision on that one.
Absolutely. And it's great to hear that. Well, your next opponent in the third round in the draw, you're going to be on the road taking on Louisville City FC at Lynn Family Stadium. That's going to be a hostile environment. That's been a fantastic fortress for Louisville City of USL Championship League. What's going to be the secret here to try to knock them off? And what are you worried about Louisville going into this match?
Well, obviously, you know, they're very explosive, like you say, and they do score a lot of goals. I mean, you know, this past weekend they scored 5 against Indy, you know, but they did let in 3. So we haven't done a lot of film on them and scouting them as of yet, because they do have another league game coming up. But obviously going into their stadium is going to be a challenge. But at the same time, you know, it's a great location. It's a big venue. Hopefully they'll have a good crowd where, you know, whether it's hostile or not, you know, once the game gets started, the boys will put that out of their mind and really, you know, dig deep. And it's going to be a challenge, but hey, it is, that's what the Open Cup's all about, you know. And I know that our guys are really excited about it. We're trying to iron out the details as far as our travel plans. And once we get that done, we can really sit down and really put together a plan on how we're going to go there into the lion's den, so to speak. And we'll be David and they'll be Goliath, and we'll see how it turns out.
Absolutely, and I cannot wait to see what's going to happen in that matchup. But anyway, Rick, I just want to say thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Good luck in the next Open Cup match, and hopefully for you guys that you'll be able to go out there and absolutely have a fun time and maybe advance into the next round. We'll see what happens, but good luck. Can't wait to see what's going to happen with you guys, and hopefully you come out on top.
Great. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, and listen, go Triumph, and we'll do the best we can. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. Once again, Rick Wright, the head coach of Greensville Triumph, as they will attempt to get into the next round. It's going to take on a very difficult Louisville City. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we just take a quick look at some other final scores as well. Before we move on, of course, Irvine Zeta basically were up a man the rest of the way, 2-0 victory over Ventura County FC, getting two goals in this one. And then, of course, you got Carolina Core defeating Vermont Green 2-1. Chattanooga Red Wolves with a 1-0 victory over Apotheos FC. Forward Madison falling to Chicago Fire 2 by a final of 2-0. And then, of course, it's Union Omaha defeating the Des Moines Menace 3-1. Of course, unfortunately for Sasha Kleischen, could not advance. South Georgia Tormenta with a 4-0 thrashing over Savannah Clovers. In this one with four different goal scorers in this one. And boy, oh boy, just a lot of things going on here. Once again, Michigan Stars defeating Minnesota United FC 2 in extra time with a 2-0 victory in that one. Keep on going with the scoring here. Once again, big moment. A scoreless match between Charlotte Independence and the South Carolina United Heat, but it went into penalties. Charlotte Independence with the big win in the penalty kick shootout, 4-3. New York City FC 2 defeating New York Red Bulls 2 by a final of 4-2. And then, of course, Lubbock Matadors with a 2-0 victory over 4-0 SC, and they advance into the next round. Into that third round. Once again, the dates for those matches will be on Tuesday, April 16th and Wednesday, April 17th. And of course, you can probably watch all those matches through U.S. Soccer's website on their Open Cup page, usopencup.com, or you can also go to mlssoccer.com or uslsoccer.com to watch those matches as well, depending on which clubs have advanced the furthest. And once again, you know, look, this is what the Open Cup is made of. This is what the Open Cup is all about. We love the Open Cup, and we want it to become bigger and better and a lot of fun. So as we get ready to talk more about the Open Cup, my next guest, unfortunately, once again, was originally scheduled to show up. Something came up, so we decided to record the interview to bring him on. This is the head coach of Northern Colorado Hailstorm. Of course, he used to play in the Open Cup as well as a big USL player, and whether it's in the Championship League or League One itself, he was always ready to fight, ready to go. This is Mr. Amon Zayed, once again, the head coach of Northern Colorado Hailstorm, as they took on Colorado Rapids 2 in the U.S. Open Cup second round, and here is that recorded interview right now.
Once again, back to the American Soccer Show as we review the 2024 U.S. Open Cup second round. And, of course, another big winner for this USL League One side, the Northern Colorado Hailstorm. Joining me right now, the head coach is Eamon Zayed, who his side was able to knock off the Colorado Rapids 2 side. Eamon, welcome back, and how are you?
I'm great, yeah. I remember the last time, obviously, we had a chat straight after the Colorado Switchbacks victory a year or so ago. So, as always, enjoyed the chat. I'm looking forward to talking more U.S. Open Cup.
Absolutely, and it's a fun time here. I know it wasn't the MLS side, but facing their two side, what can you tell the audience when you're taking on a club like that, that it's their secondary team, mostly, you know, up-and-coming players ready for the first team?
Yeah, it's obviously, look, it's a different type of game. Preparation is quite similar. We have played the Colorado Rapids MLS Next team each of our last three preseason over the last 3 years, and the games against them have always been quite close, quite tight. They have a mix of, obviously, youth. They do drop down some of their younger players that are involved with the first team. So it's always a very competitive game. Obviously, they have some talented youngsters. The approach to the game was quite similar. I will say it helped that we played in the Sporting Dicks Goods Park, where the first team play. So you kind of, straight away, you get that atmosphere when you arrive to the stadium that you're playing against an MLS side, even if it is their second string. You still get that feeling that it's a game and a big occasion once you obviously enter their stadium. So that definitely helped. And look, the game itself, you know, they have some very, very talented youngsters. But we're obviously, our games in our league, it's all about results. Results, results, results. We have to win. Whereas I think in the MLS Next League, yes, I get it, they want results, but it's more so about performances and how many youngsters can we bleed through for the first team. So I think we had the upper hand and advantage in that regard, in terms of we're going out to compete and win every single time we play.
Absolutely, you know? And I don't blame you at all, because the point is you got to beat them to advance to the next round, and that's what you did over there. Nothing much in the first half, even though you were down 1-0 by the Rapids 2 from Wayne Frederick in the 47th minute. But yeah, your guy, Marky Hernandez, what a great equalizer that was almost 10 minutes after that.
Yeah, look, the first half was, I wouldn't say it was a cagey affair. It was kind of rusty from our part. You know, we hadn't played the USL League One game in over 10 days or so, and we had a short preseason, only 4 weeks preseason, so there's still a little bit of rustiness from our side, and the first half was kind of a bit rusty, a little bit nervous. I did feel that they had the upper hand in the first half, albeit not much happened in either boxes. Second half, we got a massive wake-up call. It was a good goal from their part, great finish from Federicks. And that kind of woke us up a little bit. I felt after they scored, I felt we kind of woke up and kind of took control of the game in the rest of the second half. And, you know, I always say to the guys, you know, you have a guys that started the game and then guys that come on, you need to get that instant impact and the reaction from the guys coming off the bench. Marky Hernandez has proved himself once again coming off the bench, giving that energy, the extra bit of spark, and a great equalizer from his part.
Absolutely. And then, of course, later on in the match, in that second half, Ethan Horde, that was an amazing shot to put your guys up 2-1 on the match in the second half. Just absolutely fantastic goal from him.
Yeah, Ethan, again, this is his first year as a pro. He's coming out of college. You know, he's raw. There's talent there. I'm going to try and help him develop as a striker. hopefully similar production in terms of how Trevor Amann developed out of college with us. Ethan obviously is a different type of player. He's a lot bigger. He's more of a target striker, but he can also run in beyond. And look, he came off the bench and scored against Tulsa Athletic in the first round of the US Open Cup. He also came on in a preseason game against the Colorado Rapids MLS Mexide and had a big impact in the second half of that game. So I was looking for the same, and that's what I got. He was fantastic when he came on, and look, he took his goal. He actually started the goal by winning it back, pinching the ball back, and then he's straight on his bike making a run in beyond the defender, the shoulder defender, and it was more of a solo effort once he got the ball. So fantastic goal from Ethan, and that's two goals now in the last two rounds of the US Open Cup. So hopefully he can continue to develop and maybe help us in the third round of the US Open Cup again.
I hope so too, and we'll see what you guys do then. But that must have been difficult. Second half stoppage time, and Rapids 2 were able to equalize, make it 2-2. Kimani Stewart buried it, and then you go into extra time. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I'm assuming you've been a part of and against those types of moments late into the match as a former player as yourself did.
Yeah, look, the equalizing goal from the Rapids to send it into extra time, look, that was it was a blow. You know, I had brought on David Garcia as an extra defender to kind of counteract some of the big lads that they brought on when they kind of just threw caution to the wind and were getting the balls into the box. And I was hoping to see it out, and obviously it wasn't to be. So I said the start of extra time when we got the guys in together, I said, listen, it is what it is. We're going to have to deal with this. You know, no point in kind of contemplating and thinking about the goal that we just conceded. It's gone. It's done. 90 minutes are done. Now it's extra time. I felt that we were going to get another opportunity in extra time because the game was getting stretched. They looked a little bit tired, having played a game on the Sunday and being a younger team. So I thought that we were going to be stronger in extra time, but obviously it's nervous because you're looking for that goal. And thankfully, pretty much the last kick of the game, David Garcia got it.
And, of course, you probably go through the entire extra time scoreless. You're probably thinking already to yourself, here we go, we're going to go into a penalty kick shootout. And next thing you know, David Garcia gives you the match winner in stoppage time, in second half extra time. That was probably the best feeling you've had for a while.
Yeah, look, fantastic feeling. You know, as the minutes were ticking away to the end of extra time, I still felt that, you know, we could get a chance, just wasn't sure if it was obviously going to be put in the back of the net or not. And then I think the penalties, and I'll be honest, I was kind of thinking, like, we have Lalo Delgado, who's one of the best penalty kick goalkeepers in USL League One. He set a record last year for saving four or five penalties. So I knew that we had somebody in goals that could save penalties, but Colorado Rapids, the MLS next side, they recently had penalties against, I think it was LAFC, in a league game a few days before that, and they do penalties. If it's a draw in the MLS next, they go into penalties for the extra point. So they're used to penalties. We're not. So I felt that they had the advantage if it went into penalties in terms of tucking it away. So, yeah, it was relief, excitement, joy just to kind of get it done, you know, because penalties is more of a lottery, and I didn't want it to go to penalties, if I'm being honest.
Absolutely. I understand where you're coming from because, you know, they take penalties if there's a draw, like you said, and you don't.
Yeah.
This is where the cup competitions, you know, this is where you just got to hope for the luck of the draw and the hope for the ball to go into the back of the net, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, this is your second consecutive season over there in Northern Colorado. What does it mean? Because I know a couple of times, like you said, like you probably played the switchbacks last year in the Open Cup, and then you're playing the Rapids 2 team, and hopefully maybe next year you'll play the Rapids themselves in the Open Cup. But when you're facing these, you know, fellow professional sides, amateur sides from the state of Colorado, what amazes you about the quality of the Colorado player that really, you know, tells you that you came to the right place to be a head coach here with Northern Colorado Hailstorm?
Yeah, listen, Colorado is a fantastic state for soccer. You know, we've played numerous amateur teams, Harpo's, Peak 11, Azteca. There's some really good amateur teams in Colorado, and then there's some fantastic college teams. We always play DU University in preseason as well, and it's always a tough game. And there's other, obviously, universities that are Regis as well, and Colorado Springs that are really competitive. So soccer is, look, you have the Rapids, you have obviously us up in northern Colorado. Now you have Rapid MLS next, you have the Switchbacks. I mean, you have soccer of all levels, every level in Colorado. It's a fantastic state for soccer. I think some of the things that kind of stick out to me, look, obviously, first and foremost, there's talent there. But the players that I've worked with that are from Colorado, they're hard workers. Like, they work so hard, you know, and that's something that kind of sticks out, you know, to me, to be honest, is the work rate, their kind of willingness to run on the ball, off the ball, work for the team. They're very good teammates, team players, to go along with the talent. So that's something that you look for in a player. You look for winners. You look for people that are going to put in the hard work. Obviously, they have to have quality, but first and foremost, they have to have the right mentality. And I feel like that's what I've gotten from the Colorado, the players that I've had in Colorado. I mean, when I think to my team that I've recruited, I think of Trevor Amann, who's obviously done fantastically well for me, obviously set USL League One records, and now is scoring goals for fun in Sacramento in the USL Championship. You know, more locally, I took in Destin Norman from Fort Collins, and again, the work rate, the attitude is just second to none. You know, so that's kind of what I see from the players here. But it's a fantastic state for soccer. There's so much talent, and I guess I'm delighted to be involved with, obviously, soccer in Colorado.
Absolutely, and of course, your next opponent in the third round, you'll be traveling to Oklahoma to take on FC Tulsa. What worries you about the club, and what do you think you might have an advantage over them?
Look, first and foremost, they're the USL Championship side. You know, naturally with that comes a bigger budget. They're also playing at home, so they have that advantage. You know, going on the road in the States is difficult. It is really, really difficult. You know, the travel to the airport, then getting all, you know, two, 3 hours, whatever it is, to Tulsa, and different time zones. It all affects you. It really does. So I was delighted when we got the Rapids in the second round, because it felt like a home game. So going to Tulsa, they're going to have home advantage. They're obviously a USL Championship side, so the onus is on them as favourites to win it. They have some top quality players. Arthur Rogers, who was with us last year, has obviously gone to Tulsa FC, and he looks like he's one of the most talented players on the team in terms of his set-piece delivery and his creation. So, look, it's going to be a tough game. How can we get a result? Yeah, look, we're going to have to go down there and put in a shift, work hard. We went down there recently to Tulsa Athletic, so that's going to definitely help us. We've recently been on a flight to Tulsa. We're probably going to stay in the same hotel, eat the same type of food. These small things that people don't realise, they do play a part. So we do have the familiarity of the being there recently and mentally going down there and getting a result, albeit against Tulsa Athletic. So, now look, we'll be prepared. We need to work hard. We need to work harder than them. And then on the night, it's a cup game. Listen, we've been through two rounds. This is going to be the first round that they enter. Maybe there's an advantage there that we know. We've been through extra time. We know that it's knockout football. You win it, you go home. So we'll be prepared for that, as we were last year, as we are this year. I've no doubt it's going to be a tight game, a close game. Little margins of error.
Yep.
But hopefully we'll be on the right end of the results, you know.
Absolutely. Eamon, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Good luck in the third round of the Open Cup, and good luck in your USL League One season.
Absolutely. Super talking to you, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Ayman Zayed, head coach of Northern Colorado, hailstorm of USL League One. Fantastic to have him on once again. Love talking to him about the Open Cup. Love to talk about his club and, of course, give them the moment that they need in the spotlight. Once again, this is the Open Cup. This is about all the clubs under the umbrella of U.S. soccer that gives them the opportunity to give them to talk about their club, their story, and, of course, the hope that they will be the ones making the big cup sets as they continue to go down this beautiful road of what is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. It is just wonderful to talk about these games, and it's fantastic to talk about these coaches and players that get involved with the Open Cup, and it is just a dream come true to talk about these teams. And, of course, one of these teams I'm here to talk about, glad to talk about, also another club from USL League One. This is the expansion side, Spokane Velocity. The head coach is Mr. Leigh Veedman, and he joins me right now to talk about his club. Leigh, thank you for your time. Welcome to the show, and congratulations on your second-round victory in the Open Cup.
Hey, Daniel. Hope you're doing well, and thank you very much. Glad to be here.
No, I'm glad to have you on the show, and very glad to have you on. You know, what is it like to be in the Spokane, Washington area? I mean, we always talk about Seattle, but, of course, we can't forget about those older clubs like Spokane Shadow that's been around in the old Premier Development League, which is now USL League Two. To have this professional club in Spokane, what has been the atmosphere like and the support been as well?
Been quite impressive, to be honest. With an expansion team, you never really truly know what it is going to be like. But one thing for sure is Spokane's got a real sports culture here, of course, with Gonzaga, etc. So that exists here. So we knew that coming into it, that the sports culture was there, but would people buy into professional soccer here? And I think that the front office, the ownership, have done a phenomenal job in first of all setting up this organization and this club, but of course on the marketing front too. But as we saw in that first home game, what a showing that was, and especially when we played against Colorado, and then of course in the Open Cup recently, I think you're really seeing Spokane show up. So it's been incredibly impressive so far.
No, it really has been. And, you know, your opening match against Ballard FC, of course, they are the currently defending USL League Two champions. That was a heck of a match. And I got to say, you know, you took them toe for toe in that opening round there, even though your side took the majority of the cards, unfortunately. But still, though, that was an amazing match to watch until Andre Lewis was able to bury that ball in second half stoppage time to get you the win.
Yeah, Ballard were fantastic. They made life very, very difficult for us, and that's what the Open Cup is, and that's what it's about. You know, I wouldn't say with the Goliath of the Open Cup, but it is that David vs. Goliath, you know, kind of tournament format. And I think you really saw that go toe-to-toe on the day, and they caused us a lot of problems. We had to adjust a little bit, and we had to change our game plan at halftime, but the guys did a fantastic job of finding a way to get the game won. But it was a really cool day, playing in that stadium in Seattle, where Pelé graced the field in 75, I believe it was. And, it turned out to be a really cool day for us.
No, it really was. And to just, you know, see your side really going out there and giving it their all, that had to be something special to watch. But it's even more special because, obviously, you built that stadium within, I believe it is a local public school in the Spokane area. And, of course, it is your ground, without a doubt. I mean, how happy was it, and a little history being made as well, that you finally hosted your first Open Cup home match?
Yeah, listen, the first step was, of course, getting through Ballard in Seattle when we played out there, and that was a real test of our character as a team, being a new team, a new squad. You know, people think about the development of a team as being on the football side, but Not a lot of people talk about, you know, building a resilience as a team, finding a way to win as a team, withstanding a lot of pressure as a team and holding on to, you know, our results. And that's a big part of building a team. So we got a real good opportunity to do that on Ballard. And then, of course, we go into the home game against LA Force, I think it was last week. And it's always difficult on a Wednesday night, a late game on a Wednesday night, you know, a school night for most people. And thankfully, was at home. But again, Spokane really showed up for that game, and they were instrumental in pushing us through that game. And the players were, of course, fantastic to find a way to get that game won too. So two very different games that we faced, two very different oppositions. But thankfully, on our side, the result was the same on both.
Thankfully, there was no extra time, you mean, don't you?
I mean, yes. I mean, it was a busy window for us, so not to have that was really nice. But, it was listen, LA Force were really, really good themselves. They made it very difficult for us, as did Ballard. Ballard were very much in our face, high pressure. LA were a little bit deeper in their defensive block, and we have to show real maturity and patience with our football and continue to do the right things to find a way through. We didn't create a lot of chances, but we got a few chances, and one of those chances we took. So that's what it's about sometimes. Again, it's that resilience as a team, finding a way to win against different teams, different systems, different defensive structures. And the guys have really shown a great growth mindset and humility and, you know, a willingness to find a way to win as well, which is important.
No, it really is, and I just got to say that it's just a lot of fun to watch a match like that, especially in your second round match at home. Such a scrappy match between both sides, even not just so much as scrappy, just chances galore all over the place. And yeah, I know they took it to you, but still though, with LA Force, but still though, I really thought your players were up to the task of this one, and boy, did it just did not disappoint at all.
Yeah, it was. They pushed us for a while. We were not great in the first half in terms of our attacking third. We were good in the defensive third, the middle third. We started to push them back a little bit more, but we just weren't sharp enough in the final third. We were getting into good areas, but, you know, there'd be a breakdown or, you know, the chance just wasn't clean enough. So we kept having to push and prod and poke and find our way through, and then eventually we got that in the second half. So that's what the game's about at this level. You know, you don't necessarily get 6, 7, 8, 9 shots on target, chances on goal. Teams that play a little bit deeper and were as good and organized as LA Force were defensively, you're going to get, you know, 2, 3 chances, and you've got to take one of them. And thankfully, we stepped up to the table and got the job done.
Absolutely, and boy, was the job done by Lewis Heel. How about that? 5 minutes left in regulation in second half stoppage time. I mean, excuse me, second half, not in stoppage time, I should say, but in the second half at least. That was probably the biggest goal the club has scored so far, not counting, of course, you know, the first round match that you won in the stoppage time, obviously, in the second half was fantastic as well. But, you know, Lewis Heel just stepped up and just took his time and ripped that sucker in.
We got a little bit fortunate with the rebound off the goalkeeper with the shot from Andre Lewis. But the whole play, excellent. Getting hand side, Pierre Reedy on the right-hand side. We got him in a 1v1 situation, which is a big part of Pierre's strengths, and he did a fantastic job in losing his player, getting into the box, and I think he put a cross into the back post for Josh Stalling, who I think the centre-back just got in front of him and cleared it out to Andre, and then Andre does what he does. He gets to the top of the box, had a shot on goal, rebounded off the keeper, and thankfully it fell to Luis, who put it away.
No, absolutely, and it was just absolutely fun to see that happen. Who on your club do we have to watch out for? Because I know, I mean, I am on the East Coast, obviously. I know what goes on up and down on the eastern side of the country, but who at Spokane do we have to look out for? Some of your best players right now that you believe can definitely tackle, you know, a big time job to get you guys the 3 points every night.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a tough one. It's like asking a parent who the favorite child is, right? There's so many that I could choose from. I mean, You've got Roman Metanier, MLS All-Star. You've got Luis, of course, who's had a fantastic career. You've got Pierre Reedy, who was in the USL Championship final last year. You've got Derek Waldeck, who I think has won League One with North Texas, been in playoff contention every year he's been in the league. You've got Jack Benton coming out of Missouri State and being a real dominant midfielder for us so far in his rookie year. You know, the list goes on and on. I think every single player that we've got brings something different to our squad. They bring a level of quality, but also we've got a lot of good people on our team too that bring a mix of experience and youthfulness and everything in between. So we feel like we've got a good balance on the roster from the personal side and also the playing side. You know, like any squad, we're always still looking to strengthen the squad and improve it and add some depth. But where we stand today, it's hard for me to choose one, but yeah, we're super happy with where things are at right now.
No, I'm very happy to hear that. And obviously we want to see your club doing much better, obviously, and giving them the opportunity, of course, getting those opportunities to try and get to the League One title. Are you excited for this in-season tournament cup that you're going to have outside the Open Cup with your fellow USL League One sides?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a new competition, a little bit of a different format that's going to really entice some attacking football. So it'll be interesting to see what that tournament format brings. But the other thing as well is with the League One structure and the games that you have in the season, throughout the season and the schedule, there tends to be a lot of bye weekends. So I think the League One Cup, I should call it the Jägermeister Cup now, it really allows us to fill in a lot of those free weekends that you have, because it's super important to play. You know, we don't want to be playing and then having 2 weeks off and then back in and playing. So it enables us just to have a more regular schedule, play a more regular schedule. And then, of course, it's a new tournament format with a little bit of an exciting setup too. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Yeah, we're eager to get going with it and to see how those rules on the game.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in those games as well. It should be a lot of fun and it should be exciting. Your next match in the third round of the Open Cup, you're going to be taking on basically a club that has been rejuvenated with the brand new ownership of former Major League Baseball player Jose Bautista in Las Vegas Lights. He'll be over at Cashman Field in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, obviously, you got to avoid the cables, but other than that, what's it going to be like to take on the Lights, and what are you ready for, and what are you going to be cautious about?
Yeah, we're super excited, of course. I think it's always fun to play a team that's in a division above you in the championship. So I know our guys are really excited. It's in the middle of a really tough window for us because the travel with us being on the West Coast is actually really, really difficult. So we head to Lexington. We play Lexington, and then the day after Lexington game, we've got to get on a plane out to Vegas. We play Lexington on the Sunday. We head to Vegas and play them on the Wednesday. We jump back on a plane on the Thursday and head to Richmond, Virginia to play on Saturday. So we got a lot of travel there. But you know, we've got three games in that week. It's going to be a challenge, and it's a challenge that we embrace, not just with the travel that's involved. You know, we've got some league games in there that we want to win, but it's US Open Cup third round against a team who's in the division above you. A team that's been playing fantastic right now. They are very similar to us in many ways. They've kind of been an expansion franchise in some ways with the brand new staff, the brand new roster build that they've gone through, brand new ownership. So a team that is very much in the same shoes as we are. They've started fantastic, and it's going to be an interesting matchup. So yeah, we're all super excited about them.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do against the Lights. That's really going to be a tough matchup for you guys, but I have full confidence you'll probably give him a good show, and hopefully he'll be victorious and move on to the next round. But anyway, let me just say, Lay, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Good luck in the third round matchup of the Open Cup, and I hope to have you back on the show whenever you're available.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you very much. Once again, Leigh Vaidman of Spokane Velocity of USL League One as they advance into the next round of the Open Cup, and more excitement coming for them, and, of course, more excitement coming to the Bay Area, especially in the San Francisco area. El Farolito does it again, this time against Central Valley Fuego. Santiago Lopez joining me once again. Santiago, congratulations on your second round victory over the Fuego, and the club known as the Taco Joint is now spreading around the country because it looks like you guys are on a run.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be here.
I'm glad to have you on. You know, talk about your club, not just facing a professional side in Central Valley Fuego of USL League One, but, you know, a former U.S. men's national team player as their head coach, just, you know, giving out directions, barking orders to his players, and you come out on top of this one and advance to the next round.
Yeah, it was a very tough match. We did a lot of scouting on them. Luckily, we could see a lot of their official games prior to our matchup, and we got to analyze their habits and the way they were functioning. We were prepared for that strategy, and then we also implemented our own. And plus, we had a lot of rested players. Thankfully, to the NPSL, we were able to manage our schedule and give some rest to our players. And they had a tough game at home before playing us, so we knew that some of the conditions they were not going to be 100%. They didn't have a lot of other starters because of injury. So we took advantage of that, and we came out very strong, and we were very happy that throughout the 90 minutes we were able to perform at a high intensity level.
And so you did. I know you were down early in the match on a penalty converted by Jose Carrera Garcia of Central Valley in the 19th minute, but, you know, your guys did not quit. And neither did Dembor Benson. What a match he had. I mean, magic in his boots, and he finds a way to get not only to level the match, but to get the match winner. Of course, how about the first one in first half stoppage time? That was big to keep your side in this tie.
Yeah, we started out the match pretty strong. We had a couple close options there to score, one hitting the post, and we were, the first 15 minutes we came out with a really good intensity and having more ball control, but unfortunately with that PK, that gave Fresno a bit more of comp back, a little bit more. It took us a while to get back into the rhythm, and to the last 15 minutes of the first half we were putting a little bit more pressure, and then we're very lucky to get that last minute play before the half. And going into halftime with that 1-1 score, it was just a different ballgame. It was completely different compared to Portland. So we were just looking for one more goal, and we're very fortunate that we got it.
No, absolutely. And let me just also say this. I really thought your guys really stepped up to the plate in the second half. They played strong. They played good. I know a couple of yellow cards were flashed here and there in the second half, a couple more towards your guys. But still, though, just to see them really going toe-to-toe with the Fuego was just fantastic to watch. And what were you thinking at that time that, you know, obviously you needed that second goal, but you're thinking, you know, what were you thinking? Better substitutions? Or maybe, you know, reorganizing the starting 11. What were you thinking out there?
We're very fortunate that we have a large group that is very committed, and they're preparing themselves individually to be part of this group. And the people that we had in the bench, we knew that they were going to come in strong, fresh, and it wasn't going to really disorientate the squad in our game model. So I was just waiting to see whoever was showing a bit more fatigue and just switch those players up and keep with that intensity and take advantage of the wing play, because I know that their fullbacks were very tired and their center backs were doing a great job keeping a lot of balls out, keeping Denver out of the box. So it was just for me just waiting patiently, not to go too strong, not to lose my mind and go put a lot of players up front. Just keep calm and keep searching for the ball. Just keep searching for options. And I was just looking for my players to see who was fatigued, and I'll just rotate them. And that was the game plan at the moment.
And it worked to perfection, because later on in the match, Denbor Benson does it again. He goes inside the far post and beats the Fuego, and you guys are up there in the 88th minute. What was it like? Obviously, euphoria at your technical area, but still, though, how was that feeling like for you and your players out there on the pitch and on the bench?
Yeah, before that goal, we had two really good options off of corner kick, and we really felt that the goal was coming, and it was just so frustrating that it wasn't going in. And on my side, I was a little bit worried, because I've seen so many games of these in the past where you insist so much, and you just can't put it in the last minute or last play. The opponent takes advantage of a counter, and they score and they win. So I was really nervous of that. So as soon as we scored that goal, it was just a relief that at least we were going to go into overtime. But we're always thinking positive and trying to stay focused to our game plan, and we were able to pull it off.
That's fantastic to hear, and, you know, just very happy to hear how your guys were able to get out there and find the way to once again get a big-time victory in the Open Cup and move on to the next round. Once again, I have to ask, everyone at the restaurant, was everyone watching this round match, watching your guys? Did they finally get glued in?
I have no idea, actually. I heard someone was going to take some device to play the game on at the bar, but unfortunately it didn't work out. People were left out without watching it, so maybe in the next Tuesday they'll be able to do it. But so far, actually, I don't think a lot of people in the company actually know that we're in the Open Cup, or that even some probably don't even know we have a soccer team. But, you know, the ones that know about us, they're rooting us, and they're very happy, and they're excited for us.
Who do I have to call to get their attention on this? Who do I have to talk to? To your friends, your bosses, that play the freaking stream in the bar? Who do I have to go to?
I wish I could tell you. I really don't know. But hopefully the owner you could have to call the owner for that.
Okay.
She'll definitely give you some burritos as well.
Oh, okay. Listen, I don't mind that, but, you know, I mean, this is an outrage. I mean, you know, your guys are playing I'm only kidding around, obviously, but I want them to – they should watch the fruits of their labor with this team that you're running, doing such a fantastic job. It's not just, you know, what I'm talking about. Everyone's talking about El Farolito right now. I know, a former champion, 1993, but still, though, everyone is talking right now about your club possibly going on a run here, talking about what Christos FC did several years ago, talking about what Dallas Roma did many, many years ago, you know, what Sacramento Republic has done with the USL Championship League, getting into the final against Orlando City. I mean, you know, I really want to see your players, and of course you specifically, you know, get the game on and, you know, let all the people that come to those restaurants cheer on that club that represents the restaurant so that, you know, you get the full recognition you deserve.
Yeah, it would be great to continue and to a long run, but we just focused on one game at a time, and our next matchup is against a very, very well-prepared squad. They have a very deep bench. They have national players from different countries. I know the coach, Delgado, very, very experienced, very professional, very serious person, and his game model is very similar to us. He's in the same formation. They pressure up high. They have wingers that are quick, center backs that are good with the ball, and they're strong in the air. A very good goalkeeper. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup, and we played them. We played against them in preseason at their installation, and it was a great match. We lost 1-0 against them, and we thought we could have tied. So this game is going to be much, much different. I know they're going to come out much more prepared, but so are we. So it's going to be a different story compared to last year in the second round when they beat us 3-1.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, what do you think you're going to have to try and do a little differently here against Oakland Roots? Like you said, they're well prepared. They have obviously players from international locations around the world, probably also from Mexico and South America. But what do you think you might have to do a little differently to try and surprise them? Or what type of training ground stuff do you need to do to bring it to the game pitch and try to knock them out?
Yeah, I think we need to keep pressuring, keeping high intensity pressure on the defenders and center mates. I've seen some of the games and you know, like every other team, well, whenever you lose the ball in the build up, it could cause a lot of damage, and I think we could do something with that against them, and then be very, very secure with the ball in our defensive side, not leave a lot of spaces in the middle, especially in the second post, because they have wingers that send very good crosses, and they have a lot of people showing up to the box and finishing the play, so we have to be very aware in those certain things, and of course the set pieces. I think we should definitely take advantage of the set pieces. And I know the goalkeeper has a lot of experience, but we don't know if they're going to play the starting goalkeeper or the backup. But regardless, we need to stay focused on our mark, marking our men and the set pieces against, and obviously taking advantage of those moments when we have the set pieces in favor.
Very true, very, very true. And hopefully you will be able to go out there and take them on and do well. Of course, your match will be played at California State University's East Bay in Hayward, California. So this is going to be a very, very tight match. Obviously, you've seen what they can do. You've faced them before in preseason, like you said. They're going to be difficult to take on. But hopefully for El Farolito, it will be a victory, and hopefully you'll move on to the next round, and we'll see what happens in that third round next week. You know, how proud are you of these players? I know that you feel good. I know that you've done everything you can to get them prepared and ready to go, but what have your players been for you that makes you excited each and every match, whether it be an NPSL play, Open Cup play, or any other tournament you get involved with?
Yeah, for me, I'm so happy for them. I'm proud of how they've developed in their game, because a lot of these players have showed up to our squad with no experience in the NPSL, and they're not used to the intensity, and then having to adapt to that intensity, getting introduced to an Open Cup game, and that's a different intensity of play against different players. So the way they've progressed and the way they've developed to take this very serious, and the results are slowly, you know, flourishing, and I'm very proud of them because they keep their goals very intact and without losing any ground, and they're very, very humble and loyal to their morals and their beliefs, and I know they do it, you know, for different reasons. One, for their own development, or even to, you know, for make the family proud, or some of them to even get a contract in the professional team. But regardless of the intention, we're all there together, and we have created a great family and a great bond inside the field of knowing how to communicate with each other and leaving it in the ground. And then, you know, creating a good family outside the field and forgetting about all those trash talking sometimes or stressful moments. And we've created a unique group in which we all respect each other, and we show up to training with one thing in mind, which is the next game and preparing the next game, regardless if it's an Open Cup, a friendly, or an NPSL match. They're all very, very aware, and they know the responsibility of representing this team and the Bay Area.
Absolutely, and cannot wait to see what your team is going to do in the next round of U.S. Open Cup. Santiago, as always, thank you very much for your time. I truly appreciate it. Good luck in the third round, and good luck when your NPSL season gets underway.
Yeah, thank you so much, and it's always an honor to be here, and hopefully talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you soon. Take care. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Santiago Lopez, thank you, of El Farolito, as they will move on to the next round. Here's the schedule for the third round of the U.S. Open Cup on Tuesday, April 16th. Charlotte Independence taking on Rhode Island FC. Louisville City taking on Greenville Triumph. Detroit City taking on Michigan Stars. New Mexico United versus Lubbock Matadors. Oakland Roots versus El Farolito. And on Wednesday, April the 17th, Richmond Kickers taking on Loudoun United. Hartford Athletic taking on New York City FC 2. North Carolina FC taking on Carolina Core. Memphis 901 FC versus Miami United. We'll wait for that information, of course. It might change. Miami FC versus South Georgia Tormenta. Birmingham Legion FC versus Chattanooga Red Wolves. Union Omaha versus El Paso Locomotive. Chicago Fire 2 versus Indy 11. FC Tulsa versus Northern Colorado Hailstorm. Monterey Bay FC versus Irvine Zeta FC. And Las Vegas Lights taking on Spokane Velocity. I want to thank my guests tonight, Carter Krishnar, Beyond the 90, and World Soccer Talk. Jamie Watson, also Darren Sawatsky, head coach of Richmond Kickers. Rick Wright, head coach of Greenville Triumph. Amon Zayed, head coach of Northern Colorado Hailstorm. Leigh Viedman, head coach of Spokane Velocity. And Santiago Lopez, head coach of El Farolito in the NPSL. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this coming Friday night for CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal review show. We will mesh the first and second legs together with my guests. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Have a good evening, and as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good night. Bye-bye for now, everybody.